All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to receive your free, no-obligation brochure from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-942-8877. That's 800-942-8877. Call 800-942-8877 today.
RadioInfluence.com.
You know her from network radio, but now she's on the net and in your head.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is the Fabulous Sports Bay on Radio Influence.
Hey, it's me. It's Fabulous Sports Babe. We're doing everything because it is the Babe Cast, which is my favorite thing in the whole wide world. Now, let's just talk. First of all, let's do a couple of things. I see my Red Sox got another guy. Chris Sale, you're in town. Let me see now. That puts Porcello, whatever the hell his name is. He won the Cy Young. Am I correct about that? We've got Chris Sale, and we have David Price. I don't want to say thing Yankees, but you better do something. That's all I'm going to say. You better do something. That's all I've got to say. In all of that, you know what? I got to do a couple of things here. Not for nothing, and we still have four games or whatever it is. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which are the worst football team ever, have four games left, two against the Saints, one against the horrible Panthers, and one that they'll lose in Dallas. I don't want to say anything, but Atlanta and the Bucs are tied for first place in the NFC South. I got to be honest with you. I'm not used to this. I figure, you know, four games, they'll be, well, guess what? They're better. I think they're pretty good, and not all of them. You know what's fun? It's kind of fun to see Mariotti, too, doing well. I don't know. I haven't missed that at all. Oh, and let me just do this one thing. Rashan Salaam was found dead in a park. You know what? In like 94, I'm sure it was, when we were talking to him, and I was talking to his mother, because you weren't allowed to talk to him because he was Colorado, he was just too much. And her attitude was, what you rat bastards, what you rat bastards from the media do you want? And she was like, I mean, she was not nice at all. And I was trying, but she was not very nice because she was afraid people were out to screw her kid. Not at all. And now I find this horrible thing. And, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. They said no foul play and all that. And I'll figure that all out. But I remember her because she was very, very intense talking to me. Like, whoever you were from the media, you're out to screw him. Little did she know how much I like Colorado at the time. We're going to do a bunch of things coming up. And we are going to talk to somebody in Seattle who's been around there. Does Cairo, does a talk show on Cairo, and is the voice of Seattle U basketball, too. So we'll talk a lot because everybody wants to know, okay, I got Clemson, I got Ohio State, I got Alabama. What the hell is going on with Washington? So we have to find out about Washington. Braz is going to come up and talk to the Babe coming up on the Babecast. I got to be honest with you. All these people are sitting here going, what the hell's going on in Washington? I said, that's what they always said to me the whole time I was there, is what's going on in Washington. But everybody's like, how does Washington get here? And I thought to myself, well, they're sort of the ones that came in fourth, so I think so. And everybody's like, Alabama's going to kill them 56 or something. They might, but tell me about Washington, because I'm sitting on the East Coast going, I don't know anything about Washington. So let's call Groz and see what's going on. What's it about?
Well, it's about Chris Peterson, number one, first and foremost. The best thing that happened to Washington was USC not going after Chris Peterson, deciding to take Steve Sarkisian away from Washington, which they did. Peterson then becomes a possibility. I don't know that people thought he was necessarily going to leave Boise State. I mean, after all, he'd been there eight years, won 92 games, lost 12, could stay there forever, and won two Fiesta Bowls. But he decided to come to Washington. He got here immediately. The cupboard wasn't completely bare, but he took their best player, Marcus Peters, and suspended him because he didn't like how he was handling himself in practice, which kind of opened some eyes up, and then got about the business of recruiting. And I guess the question about him was whether or not he was going to be a great recruiter or not. And because at Boise, you know, he's winning with three-star players. And it turns out at Washington, he was. Jake Browning, his quarterback, the guy he got. He was originally recruiting him at Boise, as a matter of fact. Browning threw 10 touchdown passes as a freshman at Folsom High School his first year. So he brought in those guys. Some of the guys left over were a little bit better than they thought. His guys coached him up a little bit. And a year or so ahead of schedule, although, you know, Oregon had kind of taken over up here. So it was really a year or so ahead of schedule, Washington – arrived on the scene at the same time when Oregon actually, you know, spit the bed and had a losing season and fired their coach. So everyone up here is pretty surprised to see it, to tell you the truth.
Well, and you know what? I knew him from Boise State, and he's a guy, we're talking about Chris Peterson, but Graz, he's a guy that's always been like UC, whatever it was up there, and he always stayed on the West Coast, though. It seems that Peterson's always done that.
Yeah, I mean, look, he had a great thing going on at Boise. He was winning 10 games a year there, was getting to a major bowl every 4 or 5 years, you know, had been an assistant coach along the way. He was kind of a quiet guy, had turned down a lot of jobs. I mean, he could have gotten, you know, based on the success he had in those Fiesta Bowls, he could have gotten a job at a lot of different places and turned a lot of people down. So there was really a thought that he just was going to stay there, if anywhere. He might go. It might be Oregon because he knew Mark Helfrich, the coach that just fired. He knew him real well. So if he was going to move, it may have been Oregon. I don't think Washington was ever on the radar except for Washington's standpoint. And it's the most important hire those guys have ever made since Don James, going back to him. They're going to try and lock him up for 10 years. Hopefully he doesn't want to go to the pros. And if he doesn't, Washington will see to it that he's one of the highest paid football coaches in the country.
I love that they're going to do that for him. I'm into that thing, right? Oh, does he want to go to the pros? He obviously has stayed on the West Coast. That's what he wants. And I'm like there about Don James, too. I've seen all the people that have come through. We can talk about Sarkisian. But, you know, I love this Chris Peterson, and I'm thinking to myself, you got to lock him down, as you said, for 10 years.
That's just what they're doing. As a matter of fact, that's the exact deal they're planning on doing. And you know, I mean, that doesn't mean anything in this day and age. If he wants to go pro, he'll go pro.
Right.
But there won't be another college, I don't think, that will get him. I mean, he is, like you said, has wanted to stay out west, went to college at UC Davis, as a matter of fact. So he's grown up out here. And he just, now that it's happened, Nancy, he seems like the absolute perfect fit for Washington. He just seems like the perfect fit, and the guy will be here for another 15 or 20 years.
Tell me about Jake Browning, and tell me what is their team like? What's their offense like, and what is their defensive backs? I want to know this team because everybody's sitting here going, who? And I said, well, they're the Huskies, and they're way up there. But the best thing I can tell you is on a Saturday afternoon, looking out to the to Lake Washington is one of the best places in the world to go. But don't tell anyone I said that.
It still is, man. It is still beautiful to look at, and they actually refurbished the stadium. They're playing, you know, Browning is an interesting guy. He started as the first Husky ever to start as a true freshman. And this is a place that's produced a few quarterbacks over the years. And he was the first true freshman to ever start last year. And I think the thing that struck you about him last year and was magnified this year is he is a cool customer, man. Like I mentioned, he's from Folsom High School down in the Sacramento area. So really more of a Bay Area influence guy. And, you know, the Montana name is a name that comes up and when you're talking about quarterbacks who keep their cool. And that's the thing that jumps out at this guy. I mean, their big moment this year was the Stanford game. Stanford at the time was ranked number 7. They wound up beating them up here 44-6. And it was one of those games where, you know, you could see a sophomore in like his 13th or 14th career start getting overly excited and trying to make too many things happen. And he just does not do that. I mean, he had 42 touchdown passes this year, 7 interceptions. He had 42 touchdown passes, though, and he threw about 350 passes. The Pac-12 record is Jared Goff, who threw 44 2 years ago. He threw 530 passes to do it. So he's just, you know, he had a lousy game his last game against Colorado, a game they won 41-10. He just didn't complete a lot of passes. But he is just incredibly calm. They have game breakers at wide receiver. What Washington has is weapons. John Ross, the third, is a guy who will go in the draft. Incredibly fast. Chico McClatcher is another terrific receiver that they've got. They got two really good running backs, you know, really Miles Gaskin being the lead guy. LeVon Coleman being the other guy. They've got about five or six playmakers on offense. That's what makes them so good on offense. They're not just reliant on one guy. And their quarterback, like I say, doesn't have the strongest arm in the world, but does not make mistakes. So offensively is where the real strength is. They've had a couple of losses on defense, but they've stayed good on defense. But I wish they had had this kid Joe Mathis, who was their pass rusher deluxe on the defensive end side, who was very disruptive until he had a knee injury and went out for the season. They lost their middle linebacker. So they're a little defensively challenged, although you wouldn't know it by their last two games. Last two games against Washington State in the Apple Cup, they held them to 17 points. And then Colorado, they held to 10 points. So they're a team that has been very efficient, that doesn't turn the ball over much. And that's what gives them a puncher's chance against Alabama. I mean, you know, against Alabama, you got to try and not let them beat you with their defense. Let their defense score touchdowns, or let their special teams score touchdowns. Washington doesn't tend to be a team that turns the ball over much. So that's something that should serve them well if they're going to try and pull off an upset in this one.
You know, I have to tell you something. I'm the biggest fan in the whole wide world of Ohio State, and I don't think Ohio State could beat Alabama this year. So, I mean, yeah. Alabama is really good, and it's like, do you ever stop? You remember when an 8-3 was a great football team? Now you go 8-3 and you get fired.
Yeah, no kidding. And I mean, you know, it's one of the things up here. Like, people up here at first were saying, well, you know, would rather be move up to number three and not have to face Alabama to the end. And I'm like, you know what? Your best shot against Alabama is to have 4 or 5 weeks to prepare for them. I mean,
right. It
may, you know, especially get over the first week of terror when you're looking at them on film and wondering, what the heck are we going to do against these guys? But after that, then, I mean, look, this is Chris Peterson. I mean, this is why you got him. I mean, you think about the two signature games of his career with two wins in the Fiesta Bowl. They were huge underdogs. They had 4 or 5 weeks to prepare. First one for Oklahoma, the one everyone remembers. And, you know, he managed to come up with a game plan that pulled it off. Now, that's not taking anything away from Nick Saban, who's shown his stripes for sure. But I think that Washington's advantage in this game for them is to at least have some time to try and prepare for it. The fact that they played a good defense the last time out in Colorado will be helpful, but obviously nothing like Alabama. I think a lot of people will look back and contrast the USC thing where SC went to Alabama the first game of the year and got slaughtered, and SC outplayed Washington. I mean, they beat them pretty thoroughly. But SC is a completely different team now than they were at the start of the year, so that doesn't enter into it. Hey, there's no question about it. This would be a colossal upset if it can be pulled off. But Washington has the puncher's chance. They have the skill position players that can make something like this happen.
Let me go back for a minute to Sarkisian. Was he as big of a drunk as I hear he was?
Unbelievable, Nance. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I mean, I figured you must have known. Go ahead, tell me.
Oh, yeah. Everyone knew. It was a very poorly kept secret. Everyone was kind of, you know, there were a couple of times where he literally was going to speak to groups and a couple of well-meaning alums got to him and pulled him down and didn't let him talk before it even happened. Everyone was kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. It's why I think they felt very fortunate when SC said they wanted him and took him away, because they really weren't in a position to let him go. He hadn't been caught doing anything yet. And the team had been, remember, he took over an 0-12 team after Tyrone Willingham did his damage. And turned it around. I mean, he hadn't taken the next step. He hadn't gotten them past 7-6 or 8-5, but had gotten them to 3 or 4 straight bowl games, had turned the thing around. But there was a true sense of unease because everyone was aware of what was going on behind the scenes. There was a palpable sense of relief, believe it or not, when SC grabbed them 3 days after the Apple Cup a couple years ago. Not that they had Chris Peterson in mind. I don't think they knew what they were going to do, but they knew they had dodged a bullet. And so it was not surprising anyone up here when he ran into the trouble that he ran into at SC.
Gross, let me go a different direction for you. You, as I have had the unfortunate medical incident, and I'm wondering to you, how did it change you? I mean, you've been doing this for a long time. And by the way, don't you have that picture of you that it reminds me of when you worked in your father's radio station? When I see that, I always think of when you told me that wonderful story that I can't tell, that was so wonderful. But when I see you and I see that old picture of you, I think, oh, that must have been when he was his father's radio station and forgot the mic was on. But it was okay. Yeah. But whenever I see it. But let me go back to the unfortunate medical incident, as I call it. How much did that change you and what you do now? I mean, I know it changed me. I assume it changed you too.
Yeah, I had 6-way heart bypass surgery, and it wasn't. I was lucky I didn't have a heart attack beforehand. And the way it changed me was personally more so than professionally. I realized that you know, among other things, we both went through different things, but you have to make changes in terms of your lifestyle and things like that, which are surprisingly, at least for me, not as hard as I thought they would have been. But I found what I had to do was stop getting angry. I says, you know what? I'm not gonna blow a gasket, get upset, and have that, and then be grabbing my chest later. So I decided to give up getting angry, and I felt 1,000 times better since. So, you know what? I don't think it's affected me too much on the air because it wasn't really my gig to be angry on the air. But it was that change more than anything else. I decided not to get mad. That, you know what, I'd let other things get me. If food's going to get me, it's going to get me. But I'm not going to let stress get me. I mean, it's funny. The other thing that I did was I started walking everywhere because the doctor said the thing to me that I'm sure he said to you, and he says to anyone who goes through any sort of circumstance like this, you got to reduce stress in your life, which makes you want to strangle the guy. I mean, how do you do that?
Right.
Well, it turns out for me, getting out of the car and walking and not being in traffic was a way to do that. So it was kind of finding a way to do that, but it was really deciding to not let the little things get to me anymore. And I think, you know, you probably got the same perspective I did. You're amazed at the stuff that used to bother you.
Exactly.
And now that you've got different perspective in life, you just don't even, and you look at people like they're from Mars when they're upset about little things that don't matter in this world. And it'd be the great lesson you give to everyone, but you can't. I mean, in my way of going about it, you had to go through it for it to happen. So I'm just glad, like you, Nance, that we wound up coming through on the other side.
Well, I want to know about Bruiser. That's
He's
what I want to know.
Fantastic, man. He's
Tell
fantastic.
Me about Bruiser. I love him. Tell me everything.
10 pounds of fury. 10 pounds. Although it's funny. He's a little country dog. He was born in the country out here in Covington, Washington, and we live in downtown. I mean, I am an urban dweller now. I'm living in a high rise in downtown Seattle, which, by the way, might as well be renamed Amazon because we are in their world and we are just living in it. I mean, you remember Seattle, of course, and it had a decent little downtown, but you got past the Space Needle, there was nothing.
Right.
Now there's a 35,000 person. I don't even know what to describe it as. I mean, it's not a campus. It's not a beehive. Amazon is here. When I walk to work, which is about a mile and a half, and I walk through Amazon, one of the things I do every time is try and count how many different languages I hear. I mean, it has become a city of the world because of Amazon growing up. So we've taken our little dog and moved him downtown. I got an urban dog now. He pees on pads in the house. Doesn't have to go outside. He's absolutely fantastic.
Well, I love hearing about you, your family, and everything. I love talking with you. Thanks for doing this, because all these people are going, what about Washington? I said, let's go ask Ross. He's going to know everything. I always appreciate it, darling. Thank you so much.
I got a puncher's chance, Nancy, and anytime you want to talk, I am here for you.
Hey, that was my friend Dave Grosby. I love him from Seattle. He does a talk show there on Cairo, and it was great to talk to him. And also, now you know something about the Huskies, because we didn't know a damn thing about the Washington Huskies. Washington, Alabama. Ohio State is going to play Clemson. First of all, those people at Michigan, you know, if it wasn't Ohio State, I would love you the most. But you have to score more points. I don't know if you figured this out. You have to score more points than the other guy, and that's how you end up winning and not taking the gas pipe. Next year might be different, but this time you guys didn't score enough points, all right? I'm the Babe. We're doing all kinds of Babecast. It's the, what do we call this? The radio influence Babecast extravaganza? That's what I thought it was.
If you know the Babe at all, you'll know the show never ends.
Don't believe me, just watch.
Follow her on Twitter at Real Sports Babe and subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. This has been the Fabulous Sports Babe on Radio Influence. This is an On the Beach quick fix on Radio Influence.
I saw this today. There's a toy Hall of Fame for 2016, which I thought was really cool.
I heard about this. A lot of toys we played with.
A lot of 80s toys are going into the 2016 National Toy Hall of Fame. The Care Bears. Love them.
You're all about the Care Bears?
I like the Care Bears. Yep. Yeah. Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
I never did those. I think they were like a little before my time.
A little before. Yeah. I think so too. Yeah. Early 80s. And probably expensive. Bubble Wrap. which everybody loves.
Bubble wrap's not a toy, though. Bubble wrap covers up the toys.
I don't care.
Bubble wrap's awesome. Like, do you still pop bubble wrap and
Absolutely.
Get excited about it?
I just
it?
Moved. I had bubble wrap for days in my apartment. Just walking on it, like, you know, rolling around in it.
Where'd you get all the bubble wrap? Can you just buy bubble wrap?
Bubble wrap's expensive. Yeah, you can buy it at, like, Home Depot or Lowe's or somewhere
like
that.
So you bought
like
it when you moved so you can move your stuff? Okay. Mm-hmm. Ooh, man.
But, yeah, it's expensive.
You didn't call me? I wanted to pop some bubbles.
Oh, it's all you do once you move and you, like, celebrate your you know, moving
I didn't
into your
even
new place
think about this because nobody wants to ever like help someone move.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I know that like I can pop bubbles, if anybody needs me to move their shit for them, I'm in. Just
don't you have to move soon too?
Yeah, it's pretty soon. Yeah, in the next couple months I'm gonna move. So yeah, but now that I knew about, now that I'm figuring out this bubble wrap.
Start saving money. Stop playing fantasy football and start saving your money to buy bubble wrap because I swear that shit is expensive and you'll need a lot of it.
I love it.
All right, so Clue. I love Clue.
I
love
Clue.
Did you watch the movie?
No, I never saw the movie.
Pants, go run it tonight.
Did Colonel Mustard do it with the candlestick in the conservatory?
Oh, it's so great.
What is a conservatory, by the way? Do you know?
Is it like a library? No.
I don't know. I'm asking.
That's the library.
Yeah.
It's like a conservatory. I don't know. We'll have to go.
He never did it with it. Why would you kill somebody with a candlestick? That was the weakest weapon ever.
It was. Pinball, Uno, and coloring books are also going in.
All right. Yeah, suck on that, colorblind.
Suck on that.
But
color books for you.
I never did pinball. I've never really been a pinball guy.
I love pinball.
Did you?
Yeah. At arcades?
Yeah, I don't know. I was more into the electronic games. Yeah.
Did you play like Pac-Man and Nerf?
Yeah.
Or not Nerf. What was the other one? Qbert.
I love Qbert.
I love Qbert too.
Qbert was awesome.
That was good. Yeah. And what was the other one that was always attached to Pac-Man?
Miss Pac-Man.
Galaxy. What was it?
Galaga.
Galaga. That was it.
Yeah, Galaga was fun.
That was a good one too.
I loved Uno too.
I liked Uno.
Uno was fun.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't it like? Didn't you have to say Uno before? If I said Uno, if you had Uno,
right?
And I said Uno before you said Uno, then you had to like take a bunch of cards back.
I think
right?
so. Yeah.
Yeah, I was good at busting those guys on the Uno.
Yeah. We actually had a family reunion and we sat around and played Gin Rummy one night with my family. I haven't played cards in a really long time.
Cards are fun.
Cards are a good time. But for some reason, I don't know, I'm not a poker player. And like, I know a lot of guys that go out to the Hard Rock and, you know, play poker.
Yeah, I used to be into that.
Yeah. Do you play cards? Do you play poker or rummy?
Never,
Spades? I used to play spades all the time.
I played spades in high school every day.
Like, yeah.
That's how I'd make money. We'd gamble.
Right.
Like, yeah.
That's what we did in college.
Yeah. I would make money in high school. Like for a while, I didn't even have a job in high school. I would just school kids in spades or tonk. We played a game called tonk.
Tonk. Mm-hmm.
Also. And like, yeah, we just ran the school. It was great.
Oh,
I loved cards, but I don't play cards anymore. Like, I don't remember. Yeah. I haven't played cards in 5 years.
It was great because sitting around with like the old ladies of my family, they were like, well, we had bridge club and we played in the canasta and all
canasta.
These women
oh my God.
In my family would get together once a week and play cards. Like, and that's what they did on a Saturday night or something. And I thought, what? We don't get together and play cards.
No.
Cards? No.
No, we don't get together and do anything
anymore.
We sit on our couch and
Couch and order Uber.
Yeah. Fuck you and your cards. I'm done.
Yeah. I'll play solitaire.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah.
I'll sit there and wait for my food to be delivered.
Yeah. We play Pokemon Go or whatever the hell people do on their phones. Yeah, but yeah, I'm not doing cards with actual people.
Lazy, lazy group of people we are.
It's gotten bad.
It's gotten real bad.
Yeah, it's okay. Fucking, I'm enjoying it.
On the Beach can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and RadioInfluence.com.